Glad to be back here with you folks at Hanson Baptist Church. I always enjoy coming, and particularly when Tom's not here. Anyway, I feel like I've got headgear on, and it's Tom's fault. He has little ears, I'm told, and that little wire piece would keep slipping, and they couldn't get it small enough to fit around his ears. And so they've got one here, if you can see it, it wraps around both ears and holds it up. I know he didn't get small ears from his mother. Boy, I'm telling you, she doesn't miss a word. When we went on trips, she could hear from one end of the bus all the way to the back and in between. So he must have gotten small ears from his father. That's probably so. It is nice to be back with you folks here at Hanson. Always a joy to come. To be here and to not only listen to Tom when we get the chance to come, but also to come and to share a word with you also. I want to invite you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Samuel. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. And we're going to be looking at the 12th chapter of 1 Samuel. And we're going to look at some important scriptures there. So please turn as you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel, 12th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, verse 17, and then verse 24. So follow along as I lead us in this reading. 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Samuel said to all Israel, I have listened to everything you said to me and have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand, testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these, I will make it right. You have not cheated or oppressed us, they replied. You have not taken anything from anyone's hands. Then let's look at verse 17. It is not wheat harvest now. I will call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you ask for a king. Then let's look at verse 24. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Would you bow with me as I lead us in prayer? Our loving Heavenly Father, as we come today, we've come to expound upon your word and to learn from it. Lord, we do want to learn, but we also want to be doers. So I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict us to listen attentively and to examine our lives and incorporate that which we have learned into action. Father, we pray that you would now move among us and prepare our minds to listen to the message and to be a part of it in response. Thank you, Lord, for Hanson Baptist Church and the people that make up this church. I pray your blessings upon the folks here, and that you will continue to lead, guide, and bless and use this church in this community and throughout the world. It is in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. I'm sure that some of you recognize the name when I throw it out to you, Cindy Crawford. More of the women might remember Cindy Crawford than some of the men. Cindy Crawford is a model. She's been a model for quite some years, and she's getting on up in age. But to look at her, you would never know that. At this particular time in her life, she is modeling some skin care products. It seems as though that she and a doctor, a dermatologist, got together, and they came up with some type of cream that you put it on your face. It is an extract from some melon from another country, and they have incorporated, or the doctor has put it together, and he's hired Cindy Crawford to display this and to talk about how wonderful this cream is. And you know, it really works. If you don't believe me, you look at Cindy Crawford. I think she's about 50 years old, and she looks about 30 years old. And so that cream has worked wonders on her, and you need to buy that cream so that you can be more like her. Take away the ages. But she models that, and of course she says that she believes in it and that she uses that type of cream, and that helps her to stay young. Now, whether it does or not, I don't know. But because she is a model and because she says so, there are people who will make orders or give orders so that they can receive that cream and be more like Cindy Crawford, younger looking. Well, there are models in this world that people do follow. They're not models that just model clothes, but people have made them models. For example, new hairdos that come out. You can look at the way that people wear their hair, and then you can see people on television that have or do wear their hair in the same way. And so the people who are not in Hollywood or not in the pictures are modeling their hairstyle because they like what they see and because it is who it is that's wearing the hair that way. Same way with clothes. Well, we may need to know, and I'm sure you already know, that we are models. Whether we want to be a model or not, we are a model as Christians, as members of the Hanson Baptist Church. You do model a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle that is positive and healthy, and also it could be a lifestyle that's not so healthy, depending on the way that you live when you leave this church. I want to talk about that. I'm not wanting to talk about some model in Hollywood or New York or somewhere else. I want to talk about us as models, being a role model, living the Christian life, letting others see Jesus in us, allowing people to see that the power of God in Jesus Christ is real and that it does have an impact upon us, and people can see the difference as they look at us each and every day. Samuel is our role model. Samuel is our teacher. He gives to us some of the characteristics that are pertinent if we're going to be good role models. And so I want us to conscientiously and carefully look at Samuel and Samuel's words and see what we must do or we must continue to do in order to be a good Christian role model. So first of all, Samuel tells us that if we're going to be a good Christian role model, a healthy role model for others, then we must be persons of integrity. Persons of integrity. Now, this is the way it was with Samuel. Samuel goes to the people and he gathers the leaders together and he says to them that I'm going to be retiring soon. He gives a farewell speech. And he says, I'm growing older, I'm gray-headed, so therefore, I'm going to step aside. You have a king now. I've listened to all you had to say. I've appointed you a king. I have been a person of integrity. I have not taken a donkey from anyone. I've not taken any animal from anyone. I've not cheated anyone. I've not oppressed anyone. I have tried to live a life that is according to the codes and standards that God has set for me to live before you. And if anybody has any comment to make about me as I fade out, then speak now. And their response was, God is our witness. God is your witness. You haven't oppressed, you haven't deceived, you have not stolen, you have not taken. You've been a man of integrity all the years that you have led us as the leader of Israel. Integrity is extremely important. People watch for that. Integrity says there are certain standards, there are certain codes, there are certain ways that I am to live my life as a Christian so that I will uphold the person of Jesus in my life and the image and likeness of God will be present. Some of you may not know and probably have never heard of Ray Floyd. Ray Floyd was a professional golfer years ago. He was playing in a very important game and he decided that he wanted to win and he was really going to try to win because he wanted to win the money. And there were thousands of dollars to be won. So here is Ray Floyd, and I don't know what hole he was on. Let's just say that he was on the ninth hole. So his ball was 9 inches from the hole. I don't know what happened, but somehow or another, the ball moved. I don't know when he was fixing to tap it in. Before he was ready, his club hit that ball. If the wind blew or if it just moved from vibration of people walking close by. And the rule was this. If your ball moves, you cannot take that stroke. You have to take a bogey. Well, he looked down. He saw the ball move. It moved the slightest bit. He had a choice. Was he going to say, I'm going to take a bogey, or am I going to look around? If nobody says anything, am I going to knock the ball in the hole? Or he could have swatted like this and looked around at people to see if anyone was looking or if the officials had seen it. Maybe he was acting like some kind of fly or bee was after him. Or he could have yawned or he could have stepped back and acted like he needed to take a breath. But he didn't do that. You know what Ray Floyd did? Ray Floyd took a bogey. His fellow players didn't see the ball move. The officials did not see that ball move. But Ray Floyd saw it move. And he was a person of integrity, and therefore he took a bogey. Wasn't that the right thing to do? It was. He was honest. He was full of integrity. Paul has something to say about that. The Apostle Paul says that we are to keep our life above reproach. Whether you're with somebody or by yourself, whether you're in the night or whether you're in the day, keep your life above reproach. We want to set an example of this. God knows that this world needs examples of integrity so that we can have an impact upon other people as they look at us living out a life of integrity, which is following the life of Jesus. So we must examine our lives, realizing that there are those who are watching us, even though we may not know it. And we must be persons of integrity, doing what is right to do at that given time in the spirit of fairness, honesty, and love. But secondly, as we look back into the scriptures, not only are we to be persons of integrity if we're going to be a model for others, but we are to be careful, very careful about the desires that we follow through on. Samuel also teaches this. As I told you, Samuel was getting ready to back out of the picture. The people ask for a king. You see, they wanted to have what other nations had. Maybe they just didn't trust Samuel's sons. They did not follow in the ways of Samuel, the Bible says. Whatever reason was, they wanted to have a king like the other nations. And therefore, they came to Samuel and they said to Samuel, listen, we want a king. We want you to anoint and appoint a king over us. And this displeased Samuel immensely. He knew that that was a mistake. He knew They didn't need a king because they already had a king, and that was the Lord, their God. He had looked after them. He had provided for them. He had protected them. He had led them, and he was watching over them. And no human king could compare to God, who was the king of Israel. And so as a result of that, he went to the Lord in prayer. Maybe prayed something like this, Lord, can you believe what these people want? I can't believe after the way you've been to them and how kind and compassionate and forgiving that they want a king. I don't want them to have a king. They do not need a king. And God responds and says, I want you to tell them what the cost is going to be. What is going to transpire? What is going to happen? What are they going to have to give up? Give them the whole picture. So here comes Samuel. He calls the elders together, maybe other people, and he said, here is what is going to happen. If I appoint a king over you, and this is your desire, then the king is going to take your sons, and they're going to be assigned to the chariots. They're going to have to look after the horses. They're going to have to look after the chariots. They're going to have to be there, and they're going to be taken from you, and they're going to be full-time in charge of the chariots. Then the king always has an army. So what is he going to do? He's going to get your sons. He's going to bring them into his army, put the army together, train them, give them weapons, and they're going to march out and fight. And as a result of that, some of them are going to die. Then he says he's going to put other of your children to the plow. They're going to have to plow his ground. They're going to have to sow his harvest. They're going to have to reap his harvest. And then he's going to have some of your family members to make weapons. A king who has an army has to have weapons. And so somebody has to make the weapons. So he's going to have people to teach them how to make the weapons. And then he's going to take your daughters, and they're going to have to bake for the king and the king's attendants. And they're going to have to make perfumes. Then he's going to take the best vineyards and the best olive groves for his attendants. Plus that, he's going to take 10% of everything that you have to keep his kingdom going. Well, that was pretty costly. And that's what Samson told these folks. Or Samuel told these folks. And that didn't make any difference. They still wanted a king. They had to have a king. And Samuel knew that they were going to live to regret that. This was their desire. This was what was pushing them. We want to have what other people have. And they got it. God told Samuel to anoint them a king. And that was Saul. We better be very careful what we desire in this life, because that desire can become motivational power to move us in the direction to receive and to have our desire, to bring it into fruition. And it might be something that we do not need that will hurt our Christian witness. And if that be the case, we would be better off not pursuing that desire, because it will distort our ability to model Jesus. Many, many years ago, I was working with an electronic company, and there were equipment that was brought in, and we'd have to fix that equipment. One of the predominant problems that we had at that particular time in some of the models was some of the circuits shorting out. And as a result of that, the picture would go away or it would be distorted. Now, when I was working on electronic equipment many, many years ago, the televisions at that time were the big old televisions, and at the back of the television picture tube was a piece that would come out like this. Here's your picture tube, and the picture tube would come down, and it would have a piece of glass with types of electronic devices inside the back of it. And to have the picture so it wasn't distorted, you had to have what is called a yoke. That yoke would fit on the back of the picture tube. It was round, had all sorts of wires going around it. But if those wires inside the yoke shorted out, then the picture would look something like that. Small at the top, and large at the bottom, or small at the bottom and large at the top. And sometimes it would be wavy like that. And how many of us want to sit there and watch a television that looks like that? It distorts the picture. We can't see all that's going on. And that type of watching would be something that would annoy us. Did you know what? When we follow wrong desires, that's exactly what happens to our picture tube in us. It becomes distorted. And you've got people watching you. You've got new Christians looking at you. You've got neighbors looking at you. You've got people at work looking at you. You've got grandchildren looking at you. And if that picture of Christ is distorted, they're not going to see the whole truth of Jesus. And therefore, we must make absolutely sure that our desires are right. Our desires are on course. We want to desire what God wants us to desire. And we are to seek to desire those things, those elements, those characteristics, whatever they may be, so that our picture will not be distorted. You know, in the Bible, over in Galatians, the 5th chapter, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And in verse 22, here's what it says. It says this, Galatians, the 4th chapter, verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." So when we become a Christian and the Holy Spirit lives within us, then we are to display this type of spirit. This love, this patience, this kindness, this faithfulness. And we are to desire them to be shown in our life. And that's the place that we need to start. And then as we grow, and when desires come into our lives that we're not comfortable with, we talk to the Lord about it. We follow our conscience as the Holy Spirit works through our conscience. And if it doesn't feel right, then it's not right to seek after it. When you have that feeling that what you really want is not right, then you better take a second look. You better pray about that. You had better talk to somebody about that. Because what you desire may end up hurting your example in the front of others. Be careful when that desire comes in your mouth or in your mind, whether it's materialistic or something else. Be careful what desires you pursue. But thirdly, as we look back at Samuel, we find if we're going to be a good example to others, good model to others, role model, Christian role model, then we must commit ourselves to God. Commit ourselves to the true and living God. Now, God was not happy over what the people had desired, and that was a king, even though he allowed it. God did show his displeasure. He did show it. He said, "Samuel, tell the people I'm going to send a storm. It's going to be a big storm. It's going to be a powerful storm." And so Samuel speaks to the people and tells them of God's displeasure and tells them he's going to send a storm. And so God sends that storm and the people are frightened. They begin to confess their sinfulness. And after they do that, Samuel prays at their request that they'll be saved from that storm. And here's what he says. "Do not turn from the Lord your God. Serve the Lord with all of your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols." And you know the people had a tendency to follow this idol, this god. Whatever came their way, they just had the audacity to worship some idol in the presence of God. And Samuel says, Don't do that. What can an idol do for you? Something that you've carved out and set up on your mantelpiece, or something that is in your house, or something like the moon or the stars or the sun, or some animal that is made out of gold or wood. What good can they do? Can they rescue you when your enemies come? Can they bring water to you? Can they help feed you? Can they make you strong? He says, no, they are useless. And therefore, serve the Lord with all of your heart. Serve Him. Put Him first. How are you going to do that? And that's a good question. How do you serve the Lord? How do you connect to God and stick with the Lord? Well, I think that there are several ways to do that. Number one is that we must know who God is. God is the true and living God. God is the God that created us. God is the God that created this world. He spoke it into being. God loves us passionately. God is our helper. God is our redeemer. God is able to do all things. So therefore, we are to know who God really is. Secondly, we are to study His Word. That's going to do two things. That's going to help us to know who God is, because God is Jesus in the flesh. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. And so as you look at the life of Jesus in God's Word, then you're going to see who God really is. Plus, you're going to know God's Word, and God's Word is going to tell us how to live a modeling life before others so that they can see that Jesus is real and your life has been impacted by the person of Jesus whom you have accepted through faith. So, study and know who God is. Study His Word. But then worship. Worship the Lord. Worship God in His church. Worship God in your home. Take time to worship God through prayer, through reading His Word, through talking to Him and praising Him. And then realize that the Holy Spirit lives within you and lives within me. And it is the Holy Spirit's desire that we model Jesus wherever we are, be a healthy role model. And so it is the Holy Spirit that's going to lead us. The Holy Spirit is going to convict us. The Holy Spirit is going to illuminate truth to us. It is the Holy Spirit that's going to guide us, because that's part of the Holy Spirit's job, is to help us to be a real model for Jesus in a world that is decaying. And then the sixth way is, remember, you're here for a short while. You're going to die. Death is going to come. This week in the mail, I received a booklet from my classmates. They had a reunion, and Patsy and I were not able to go. But they sent a booklet to us, and in that booklet, we had filled out some papers as to what we had done in the last 50 years. And I was amazed to see how many of them had died. Amazed to see how many of them had lost their spouses in death, from cancer, from other sicknesses. Man is appointed once unto death, and then the judgment. So death is going to come when you ride by the funeral homes. Why are they there? It's not because we're going to live for eternity. It's because we're going to die. And when we die, we're going to face God. And when we face God, we want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been committed to me. You served me. You clung to me. You were glued to me. You didn't depart from me. You were a wonderful model because you were committed to me. In our home, there are several pictures that are placed in different places. And we have the pictures of our grandchildren just in every place, just about it. But we have pictures of our parents. And there's a picture of my mother and my father. They're gone. They died. But once in a while, I walk in there and I pick that picture up and I look at it. And one thing that I see when I pick up that picture, here's a man and a woman that brought two children into this world, and they were committed, a mother and a father who was committed to Jesus. I see that. I remember that. Now, can your children say that about you? When you're gone from this earth and they pick up a picture, can they say, my parents were godly people. My parents loved the Lord. My parents were not perfect, but they were committed to God. This is a start. If we're going to be the role model that we should be for others, then we must be a person of integrity. We are to be careful what we desire and pursue in that desire. We must examine ourselves and make sure that we are committed to God. Oh, we're going to hit a bump in the road every once in a while. But when we have those characteristics, then that will pull us back and put us right on the track. Maybe you are here this morning and you need to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Some of the desires that you've had has caused you to jump track. And therefore, you need to get back on track in order to be the model for Christ that you need to be. Maybe you have someone that you need to pray for that is not on track. They've allowed something to come between them and God, and their commitment has decreased. And they jump the track, and you need to pray for them, and you want to pray for them. Maybe you're here and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. And as a result of that, you have a desire this morning by way of the Holy Spirit that is moving you to accept Christ publicly. If that be the case, if you come down this aisle and come to me and say, I want to know Christ. I want you to pray with me. I want Christ to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. Then I will talk to you and pray with you about that. Whatever decision you need to make, you know what it is. You make it. As we stand together, we're going to sing our hymn of commitment. Now, this is important because this is the time that you can respond. You can respond as the Lord leads you. And this is a part of worship. A very, very important part of worship. So I beseech you to listen to the Lord. Make that decision that will glorify Him and keep you on track. Let's stand together and let's respond.